Amen. 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 Let's go to launching point. John 3:16. If you don't mind, I'm going to take this out of the case. And in the Message Bible, it reads, "This is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son, and this is why, so no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again." And let's go to Mark 11:23-24, which has been our foundation for these lessons. It's our foundation, period. Verse 22, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe," say believe, "believe, that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, that what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe," say believe, "believe, that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." The Phillips translation says, "Get up and throw your, say to this hill, get up and throw yourself into the sea, and without any doubt in his heart, believe that what he says will happen, then it will happen." He said, "That's why I tell you, whatever you pray about and ask for, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." The voice says, if you do honestly, you can say to this mountain, "Mountain, uproot yourself and throw yourself into the sea." If you don't doubt, but trust that what you say will take place, then it will happen. So listen to what I'm saying. Whatever you pray for or ask from God, believe you'll receive it, and you will. It's that simple, folks. But we make it cloudy because we allow stuff to get in the way. We started out talking about the 73 Mets and their slogan, "You Gotta Believe." And that was their slogan. No matter what happened, we can do this. You gotta believe. You gotta believe. You gotta believe. I mean, that's what he said. And when you think about it, our commission, what we refer to as the Great Commission, is based on our believing. Look at Mark 16. I'm going to share this in the Message Bible. Because, you know, I'm like everyone else. There's some things, you know, in the Bible you read and you don't see. But you read over it time and time and time again, but you don't see it. But in verse 12 in Mark 16, it says, "Later he appeared, but in a different form, to two of them out walking on the countryside. They went back and told the rest, but they weren't believed either. Still later, as the 11 were eating supper, he appeared," and listen to what he did, "he took them to task most severely for their stubborn unbelief, refusing to believe those who had seen him raised up." See, Jesus was about to give them the Great Commission, but he had to jerk this lack of unbelief out of them first. This is at the end, after they've been with him for three and a half years, after they have seen all the miracles, after he's taught them, he still, before he could give him these final marching orders, he still had to get on their case because they still were not believing. That's why you put us in the position sometimes where we have to get on your case when you sit with us, because you're not believing what God said. And you have history. They had history with God, with Jesus. But after he accomplished his task, then he said, go into all the world, go everywhere and announce the message of God's good news to one and all. Whoever believes and is baptized is saved. Whoever refuses to believe is damned. And I like the way the Message Bible puts this. These are some of the signs that will accompany prayers. I beg your pardon? Believers. These are some of the signs that accompany those that will fast for 21 days. No. These are some of the signs that will follow people who get up every morning and read the Bible for 4 hours. No. These are some of the signs, and I'm not saying that those things are wrong, but these are some of the signs that will follow them that believe. See, we need to understand that belief, the belief of a believer is our weapon. Because the word of God won't do anything for us if we don't believe it. You can confess until you memorize the Bible, but if you don't believe what it says, all you did was a memory exercise. You have to believe this. We have to believe this. I have to believe this. Otherwise, I'm just wasting my time here. And it said, these are some of the signs that will accompany believers. They will throw out demons. Now he said they will accompany. Ken, why don't you come walk with me? Okay. I believe that one of the signs that will accompany me will be that I can throw out demons. So whatever I need to throw out demons shows up. Okay? I believe, because I'm a believer, I speak in new tongues. So the Holy Ghost came. Oh, look, the Holy Ghost coming right on cue. Come on, keep coming. come on, keep coming. Just stand behind me. Okay, because I believe I can speak in new tongues. I can take up snakes. Where's my snake taker? Come on, Gertrude. Okay. Come on, see, they're accompanying me because I believe. I can drink poison. Come on, Jim. Come on, Willie. Come on. It's going to accompany me wherever I go. Because I'm a believer. I can lay hands. Come and move outside the speakers. Okay? And these are just some of the signs that are going to accompany me wherever I go because I am a believer. And what if something else should pop up? What are some other things that could come up? Right. Right. Well, no, we have. Do I have a. Where's the sickness? Who handles that? Sick, yeah. Yeah, oh, see? But whatever it is, you guys go back, thank you. Whatever it is that you need to get God's point across, He's going to supply it if you believe. Because the disciples went out and the Bible said, that they were accompanied by indisputable truths, indisputable signs. Why? Because they believed. What did they believe? They believed everything that Jesus said. And where they went, the signs accompanied them so that everyone else would believe. That's why it's important, folks, after we announce that we're Bible-believing, you know, tongue-talking Christians, that then we back it up with the right words and the right actions. Because people are looking for it, and not just looking for it, they are counting on there being evidence that we are who we say we are. And that's not going to happen unless we act like we believe. Because we say we are believers. It says the disciples went everywhere preaching, the master working right with them, validating the message with indisputable evidence. Evidence brought about because they were believing. And we have to have a basis. Look at 2 Timothy 3. Because there needs to be a foundation, so to speak, on why we believe. I should say why we believe what we believe. In 2 Timothy, in 3rd chapter, beginning with verse 14, again, I'm in the Message Bible, it said, don't let it faze you. Stick with what you've learned and believed, sure of the integrity of your teachers, why you took in the sacred scriptures with your mother's milk. There's nothing, listen to this, there's nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Every part of the scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another. And this is what it does: showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks God has for us. See, that should be a foundation for what we believe. Hebrews 4, I'm still in the Message Bible. Beginning with verse 12, is another one. It starts out with a very powerful statement. God means what he says, what he says goes. Done. Okay. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey. Nothing and no one is impervious to God's word. We can't get away from it, no matter what. I already told you that our weapon is our belief. We load God's word into our belief and let it go. And it goes. And nothing can stop it. And in Mark 11, at the end of 11:23 in the Living Bible, it says, all that is required is that you really believe and have no doubt. That's the key. I like Star Trek. I've told you that before. I like the original Star Trek. I don't really like the other four. They don't appeal to me, whatever reason. But there was an episode called Spectre of the Gun. And, you know, Kirk and a few of his folks were trapped in this place, and they were supposed to be killed in a gunfight at the OK Corral, you know, by Wyatt Earp and the Earp brothers and Doc Holliday. But Mr. Spock figured out that the whole thing really wasn't reality. And the only way you would get killed by the bullets from these guns is if you believed that the guns would kill you. So he had to do that mind meld thing to remove any doubt, because he said the slightest amount of doubt and you would be killed. So he had to take all doubt away. So when they faced the Earp brothers, they just acted like they were going for the gun and just stood there while they were firing, and nothing happened to them because they believed that the bullets wouldn't hurt them. Now, I didn't tell you that account. That's at Star Trek. That is a fictional television program. Okay. So don't go out there and stand out and tell your friend, yo, you can just shoot me. That's not why I told you that. I told you that because the principle is the same. There could not be any doubt. If they were going to get out of that situation, there could be no doubt. If you're going to get out of the situation you're in, there can be no doubt. I could not doubt that these clots would dissolve and wouldn't go into any place where they caused any problem. I couldn't doubt that. I don't care how many people were in intensive care with the same thing. I could not doubt that. I had to believe that Jesus said these things will come, but he's taken away their power to harm me. I had to, and I do believe that. Period. I don't care what they say. It's not changing what I believe. My life depends on it. And so does yours. It says the just shall live by faith. That tells me then I'll die by doubt. I think I'd rather live by faith. Not that I'm afraid of dying, but God didn't call me, so I'm not going. I love Pastor Clinton's song, the song he wrote, When I Believe. I love the last line, says, all you have to do is believe. But see, we also found out something in this series very significant. In John 16, Jesus said that in this world, we will have tribulation, right? Right? He told us, he also told us in John 10, he said, the thief comes. We get upset when the thief comes. And we go to pieces when the thief comes. But Jesus said he comes. And he told us why he comes. And he told us why we shouldn't be concerned about it. He said, I've come. So you could have life and have it how? More abundantly. See, I choose to focus on that. We get off on, well, the thief came. No. Having Jesus is better than ADT. You know, well, what's that one where they have this big guy standing there? He can only be at one house at one time. Okay. I'm going with Jesus. But this is the key I was talking about, folks. In John 11, this was the account of Lazarus. And, you know, Jesus was telling them Lazarus was asleep and they weren't understanding. And so it said, then Jesus became explicit. Lazarus died. Listen to this. And I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there. You're about to be given new grounds for believing. Why did I say that was key? Because we need to understand that the enemy is not going to keep coming at you the same way. He's going to figure out new ways to come at you, and you just need to look at it as another opportunity to believe and not get all worked up because you've never experienced this thing before. And most of us, how many of us have really gotten upset for experience, even though we experienced something before it came again and we still got upset? Anybody other than me ever did that? So really, knowing about it doesn't help. It doesn't make you feel any better. So you say, well, I've never experienced this before. If you did, what would you do? I mean, but we need to understand stuff is going to come. Things that we've never seen before or experienced before is just new grounds for believing. And really, if you're believing anyway, it's not new ground, old ground. It's what you do. You're a believer. Just like a dog barks, a believer believes. I mean, that's what, because it's inherent. It should be inherent in us. It's not, you've heard me say this, it's not second nature, it's our nature. So we need to understand stuff is going to come, and it's coming after you, and it's coming after me, okay? And no matter how we try, we cannot pray away all the tribulation, all the persecution. You can't. That's why Jesus said, if you're in this world, it's coming. You're going to have it. You're praying, hoping it doesn't come, and then it comes and you get devastated. And you think your prayers don't work. No, Jesus said it's going to come. And he said, think about why he said that. He said, I'm telling you this, so that in me, you will have perfect peace. That's what I said. So can you imagine? He said, I'm telling you this so you'll have perfect peace. You're going to go through a whole lot of stuff. I mean, that's... You're like, that, Jesus, that doesn't sound peaceful. He said, no, I said, in me, you will have perfect peace. So that tells me I need to stay in him. And we, and like I said, secondly, we have to have the mindset that when attacks come, it's just another opportunity for us to demonstrate who we are. We're a believer. Athletes don't want a championship team or a championship caliber team doesn't really want to play a scrub in the championship. They want, right, they want to put whoever is the second best because they think they're the best. So whoever thinks that they're close to where I am, get in, get out on this court with me and get schooled. Right? Didn't you like those guys that thought they were playing football? Right, Robert? Oh, yeah, come on out here. Wait till this beef hits you, Lynn. Let's see what you got. Okay. But we have to believe without doubting. So that means we can't pay attention to the antics that the enemy uses. Just like the nine disciples when the father brought his son. And I believe the Bible doesn't say this, but it appears that the pattern of this demon was when he saw someone spiritual, he threw a fit. Because it says when he saw Jesus, he had the boy thrashing all over the place and foaming. And so I'm mad he probably did the same thing with the disciples. And they're like, look at that. And Matthew, I think you take this one. Okay. I'll stand back here and intercede. Okay. I mean, that's... it worked. I mean, it's been in this boy his whole life. And his father said, it's trying to kill him. And I thought that was interesting because this was went in him when he was a baby. And now he's an older boy. It still couldn't kill him. That should have been the key. But see, we miss those things because we're too busy watching what the thing does. That we miss what it's not doing. It's doing what James Brown said in the song. It's talking loud and saying nothing. All right, but we're listening to the loud talking, and because of that, we are doubting what God said. And not only what God said, but we're doubting what he's already done in our lives. We'll say Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, but a circumstance comes and we think he's not like that now. We have to change the way we think so we don't let the enemy's antics cause doubt. I asked you a question Sunday. I said, what's the most spectacular part of the fireworks display? The ending. That's why when Jesus called, told the thing, get out and stay out, it really put on a show and left the little guy looking like he was dead. Say, how do you know that? Because the Bible says the people around said, he's dead. I mean, that's... The demon probably thought Jesus was going to go to the Father and say, well, look, I did everything I can. Must not be his time to live. You know, I'm sorry. Grace and peace be unto you. All right. All right. No, Jesus looked at the boy. He knew he had commanded that demon out. And he believed that that demon had to respond to his command. So that means he had to be out. So if he was out, then the boy must be alive. So what do? You pick him up and you walk on. So Jesus just went over and picked him up and went on. Because he believed what he said. Had to happen. That, and if he believed what he said, that means he had to believe what God said. Jesus was doing something, and I'm ahead, and it's okay. It always happens. I'll catch up to this point, but I'm going to say it now. Jesus was doing what Paul said to the Philippians. My God shall supply all your needs. That's what he was saying. God supplied the needs for that little boy. What did he need? He needed that demon cast out of him. It was no different with Peter and John at Gate Beautiful. The man was asking for money, but money is not what he needed. He needed to be able to walk. That puts me too far ahead. I'd have to close. So, all that's required is that you believe and you have no doubt. But we have to understand that there is a language is key. It's key. That's why when the folks in Babel got together and started building the tower that God didn't tell them to build, all they had to do was confound their language. Then they couldn't communicate, and they all went off. Right? The devil understands that principle. So he's trying to get the believer to change his or her language. He doesn't want you speaking believe him ease. He wants you to speak doubt and unbelief. Because if you speak believe him ease, he's defeated. And he stays defeated. But if you speak anything else, see, every athletes have their own language. Matter of fact, there's even language for present day athletes to the old school athletes. There's different languages. Educators speak a different language. I watch the judge programs, and there are multiple judges on the bench, and someone says, well, I believe this. The other one doesn't say, I believe it also. They say, as do I. And the third one says, as do I. And I'm like, why don't you say me too? Okay? But no, that's their language. Criminals have their own language. You know, children have their own language. Well, we're believers. We have our own language. And our language is based on believing what God said. That's why he called it believe him with ease. Right? Because if you believe him, this will be easy. Okay. I mean, that's... You like that, huh, Ken? But that's what he said. And Dan will tell you, I was calling this lesson the language of the believer. And I'm just writing notes, and all of a sudden I hear believe him ease. And I'm like, what is that? And God said, well, aside from being the title of the lesson, that's the name of the language you need to be speaking. And he told me, I have to believe him and everything's easy. Well, it's all I have to do is believe. Okay. So when we speak that language, we're demonstrating we believe that everything God said is true. Period. We believe it. And we have, if you were living and born and raised in this country and you decided to relocate to China, you'd have to learn the language. I mean, that's the way it is. So if once we became believers, we have to learn the language. And it's really not hard. You just need to understand a couple of basic principles. You know, the first principle you need to understand is that all a believer does is believe what God says. And to do that, if you believe what God says, then you'll speak based on what God said and not based on what you're seeing or feeling or hearing. Philippians 4:13. How many of you know what it says? Go ahead. You can say it out loud. It's not illegal. That's right. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not some things. Say, I can do all things. The good news says, I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me. Well, if you understand that, your language will change. You'll no longer say, I can't. Unless the only time I can't is acceptable for a believer is if the word sin is right after it. I mean, that's, oh, you got something? I can't do that. That's too much. I can't handle this. Oh, so you can't do all things through Christ who strengthens you? That student at LCA that was classified special needs, and I didn't know it. It wouldn't have mattered to me if I did. And the parent got very upset with me because the child said they were not coming to school without doing the homework assignment that I had given. And I looked at the parent, and I'm like, okay, I still don't understand what the problem is. The child had a homework assignment. They don't want to come to school without doing their homework. I thought that was a good thing. You know, mother, well, you know they have special needs. I said, no, I didn't know that. Uh-huh. Uh-huh, what? You know, well, you should know that. Why? Because you shouldn't require the same amount of work. I said, really? So you want me to tell your child that they cannot do all things through Christ who strengthens them? Well, that's what I'm saying. I said, well, what are you saying? Because that's what I told her. I said, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. It's the first thing I told the whole class, that don't get upset with assignments I give you, any of your teachers. I don't care what it is. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You have the mind of Christ, period. And that's what you tell yourself. And this person believed that. And I said, okay, so they understand that they have this classification. Yes. And they know that by the laws, the regulations, they don't have to do the same as all of the other students. Yes, but they want to. Yes. Isn't that a good thing? I said, what's the real issue here? I had to stay up until 12:30. I said, why? Well, they were still doing homework. I said, did they need your help? No. Did they ask for your help? No. I said, why didn't you go to bed? The child went on not only to graduate college, got a grad degree, was recruited by the FBI. Okay. Because they understood they could do all things through Christ who strengthened them, and they didn't mind if it took them a little longer. We have to stop being in a hurry and just learn to be patient. If we believe God said he's going to do it, he's going to do it. Stop trying to figure out when and just enjoy the now. Because before you know it, due season has arrived. You'll be so busy looking for it, you'll miss it. Okay. But see, when you say things like, I can't, I don't know, you're not speaking believe him ease. You're speaking doubt and unbelief. Everything that we say about any circumstance should scream out, I believe God. Period. Look at Daniel 3. We know this account. I know I read it a lot. It's a multi-purpose passage. This is after Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refuse to, you know, dance to the king's music, worship his idols. Verse 13 of Daniel 3, I'm in the Message Bible. I like the way the Message Bible says it. This furious King Nebuchadnezzar ordered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be brought in. When the men were brought in, Nebuchadnezzar asked, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you don't respect my gods and refuse to worship the gold statue which I have set up? I'm giving you a second chance. But from now on, when the big band strikes up, you must go to your knees It's key, folks. The enemy, he's trying to bring you to your knees and not to pray, but to give up and surrender to him. He said, you must go to your knees and worship the statue I have made. If you don't worship it, you will be pitched into a roaring furnace, no questions asked. Who is the God who can rescue you from my power? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king. They said, your threat means nothing to us. If you throw us in the fire, the God we serve can rescue us from your roaring furnace and anything else you might cook up. But even if he doesn't, it wouldn't make a bit of difference, O king. We still wouldn't serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up. Nobody understood what was wrong with them. They were speaking believe him ease. They thought they were nuts. They're like, do you know what this king is going to do to you? The whole kingdom probably went, ooh. And they threw him in the fire. You know how the story ends. I mean, they believe God. They see the furnace. They're standing right there. They see the guards. They know what's coming. And it doesn't change what they believe about God. Period. They throw me in the furnace. And because they did, you think about this. The king, because they would not give in, the king said, you know what? I'm making a new law here. Anybody that talks about their God is going to have to answer to me. I don't know any other God that can protect like that. So he's like, you folks are not going to do anything to get me in trouble with their God. I mean, it's just that simple. Because he saw them in the fire. And the only thing that was no longer on them were the ropes that he used to tie them up. And when he called them out of the fire, they didn't even smell like they were in it. They came out unscathed. Why? They spoke the right language. And they didn't care. Look quickly at Acts 3. That's where I started telling you about with Peter and John when they went up to the temple at the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. He was there to beg. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. See, what was it that they believed that caused them to openly speak, believe him ease? Well, Peter was speaking based on what Jesus said. These signs shall follow them that believe. And one of those signs was you'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. It was that simple. Remember, it said these are some of the signs. He just spoke. He said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Then he reached down and helped them get up. Period. Later on, you read that out. It said that the religious leaders got upset because they said, this is a notable miracle. We can't deny it. But see, that's what this world needs. It needs It needs miracles, notable miracles, that they cannot deny. They need to see things and so they'll know without any doubt, this is the power of God working in and through these people. But we have to be willing to speak this strange language that doesn't seem right. You walk down the street. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Period. You're going wherever God sends you. And you're not concerning yourself about the people or the neighborhoods, because no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You're certainly not thinking about how you're going to get there, because God already said he'd provide for your every need. So what do you care? You don't. You just go and do. You go and you speak, and things change, and people get blessed, and they give glory to God, not to us, to God. And then they want to know more about this Jesus that you were just talking about, and how you were able to accomplish what you accomplished. They've never seen anything like that before. That's what brings people in, folks. Not crumbling when trouble comes. That sends them out. That causes them to ask Jesus if, just like the boy's father said, if you can do anything. He was like, if? You talking to me? If? There are no ifs among believers. Anything is possible. But we have to speak the right language, folks. Our language has to say we believe that anything is possible. So when they were armed, Peter was armed with the knowledge of my God shall supply your every need, even though those words weren't spoken by Paul, weren't even saved then. But God was still operating that. Peter's God supplied what that man needed. And it changed the hearts of so many people that the kings got nervous and they threatened them. They sent them out the room. They threatened them. They called them back and told them that on no account ever, ever speak or teach in the name of Jesus. It says, but Peter and John spoke right back. Okay. Spoke right back. Whether it's right, and God, it probably sounded like Barney Fife, you know, when he goes that, when that song, whether or not it's right in God's eyes to listen to you rather than God, you decide. But for us, there is no question. We can't keep quiet about what we've seen and heard. Folks, we can no longer keep quiet about what we've seen and heard. We can no longer keep quiet about what we know. We have to boldly go out speaking believe-a-me's in every situation and watching God work. It'll be no different than he did with the disciples. They go everywhere preaching, the Lord working with him, confirming the word with miraculous signs. But if you don't believe it, you won't speak it. And if you don't speak it, ain't nothing gonna happen. And this world will stay the same. Right now, this world needs indisputable proof. When you look at what's going on, folks are believing there is no God. They're not believing religion. Got folks walking around with t-shirts, religion, together we can find a cure. Why? Because they don't see the power at work. And they see too many Christians acting like the world. And if they think like I thought when I was one of them, my thought was they can't possibly believe that and do what they're doing. It's time, folks. That we eat, look, either we believe this or we don't, and we stop saying that we're Christians. Because if we're Christians, if we are believers, then we should all be speaking the same language. And all that language should be based on believing him. And it gets easy. We don't believe him, it's hard. And we can't handle it. But if we believe him, he handles it. But we have to believe right now. This is the time we need to believe. He wants this world, God wants this world flooded with indisputable truth, proof that we are his children and that we do indeed all things. We can do all things through Christ. He provides our every need. Every need. We're prosperous and we're in health because our soul is prospering. You should have seen the look on the doctor's face when he looked at me and he said, you don't look anxious. I'm not. He said, well, you do understand what I said. I said, yeah, you said that there are blood clots in both my lungs and one in my leg. Yeah? And you're not feeling anxious? Not, no? May I ask why? Sure. Jesus said, I said, I'm a pastor. I'm a believer. I believe every word that the Bible says. I believe everything that Jesus said. And one of the things he said was that in this world, I'd have tribulation. So I have tribulation. He said, don't be concerned about it because he's overcome the world. As in one translation says, he's taken away its power to harm me. So yeah, blood clots came. But Jesus took away their power to harm me. That's why they're in these strange areas in my lungs where we can treat them normally and I'm not in intensive care needing the clot-busting medicine or whatever it is that they have to give some folks, which is worse. Well, I say which can be worse, you know. But you know something? My position was, even if they told me they had to inject me with this clot-busting medicine, well, I think God can't keep me. So it didn't matter to me what they had to do. My hope was in what Jesus said. Period. And I asked God, what do I do about this? And he said, do what they tell you. Actually, it was like, it's very important that you do what they tell you. I'm like, okay. Well, he knows how I am. Because if he doesn't tell me that, then I'm saying, okay, I'm out of here. And that following Sunday, I'm in the pulpit, and I'd have probably been carried out. But he said, okay. He said, when you get out of here, you can't do anything for 2 weeks. Excuse me? But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And because I believe, I can wait. Did I enjoy waiting? No. Everybody tried their part to help. Pastor Ray called me and he said, wait, Lisa, let me get this straight. You're having a hard time sitting down doing nothing for 2 weeks. I said, yeah. You don't understand. That means everything's on Pastor Ed now. I said, no. And God said, wait a minute. You were in the hospital when the Eddie James concert was going in place. Yeah. He handled it. I said, I know, but. No. Either you believe or you don't. And if you believe, or since you believe, time doesn't matter. Circumstance doesn't matter. Cost doesn't matter. None of that matters because God's got it covered.